The Heat Doctor on Kerry Today. Brought to you in association with Boyles of Killorglan, the home of quality.
Yes, indeed. That is the Heat Doctor, David O'Sullivan of DC Energy Solutions, with us on the line. David, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this month.
Good morning, Gerry, and good morning to all the listeners.
We're going to start with a couple of queries. We didn't have time to get to last month. This one is first in relation to a range. Question for David. If your range divides your radiators downstairs, can you turn the oil on upstairs at the same time? There is no heat upstairs from the range, says this listener.
So this is a tricky one, Gerry, but I suppose there is ways of doing this, but it depends on what way the whole control system is set up, and it really comes down to controls. When we have, I suppose, multiple fuel sources heating any dwelling, then I suppose technically, and not to get too technical about it, there should be controls in place that either prevent one from coming on when the other is on, or can have one heating one area and one heating another area. Now, with solid fuel, it's quite difficult because with solid fuel, we can't control the temperature necessarily other than cutting down the amount of fuel we put into the appliance. But I suppose in most cases, the solid fuel takes priority, meaning that if the pump turns on because the range or stove or open fire has got hot enough to kick in the back boiler, then an oil, gas or any other type of heat source should be turned off. With that situation, though, when there's heat coming from the range for downstairs, excuse me, but there isn't going upstairs, I question there if there's an issue maybe with a pump or an airlock or something else like that before I would be turning on the oil boiler.
The question is, David, I suppose, was the system designed day one to heat all radiators upstairs and downstairs?
Correct. And that could be the worst case scenario, I suppose, Gerry, that the stove isn't big enough or strong enough to do all the radiators. And in that case, then, you know, I look in the current climate we're on, and you've been talking about kerosene all morning as well, Gerry. I'm hearing about it all week. I suppose, you know, you really want to have something working as efficiently as you possibly can. I don't want to sound like a broken record going on about, you know, thinking about controls, thinking about grants, thinking about everything. But this is a reality in the current climate that we're living in, that, you know, it has never been more prevalent to have a correct heating source, but also correct controls. And this is a prime example, I suppose, of the two, which would be one, to check that the heat source is capable of doing the job it's supposed to do, or secondly, that the controls haven't failed, or that there isn't an issue with controls that can be easily rectified and relatively cheap to rectify to get that house working efficiently.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's worth checking out definitely for that listener. Another query you want to get to. I rent a very small one-bedroom house in rural Kerry. It's heated by oil radiators, which you can switch on or off with a flash 31031 single programmer clock for central heating. The house is not insulated. Is there any equipment that would allow us to set a temperature for each room and leave the switch on, but that it won't stay burning all day and night, just keep a steady temperature? At the moment, we have to turn on the heating, wait till it gets too hot, then turn it off, wait till it gets too cold and turn it on again. The house isn't insulated, so we're turning on and off the heating all day.
So, again, it goes back to the previous question before that as well, Gerry, about what components are in place in order before you install something to control the overall heating situation within the house. There is something I will touch on, though, for that house as well, is that the house isn't insulated. So I suppose that's something directly to consider immediately, and especially with the new improved grants for houses through the SEAI, that's SEAI.ie. I would encourage that homeowner to have a look at that and make sure that they can avail of all the grants going for insulation. It's a whole house solution that we're going to look at here. But definitely for the heating controls, we are associated with Boyles, obviously, in Killorglan. They provide EPH controls. You can look at EPH.com. There's some brilliant systems on there. And we use quite regularly the Ember Pack. So basically what that means, Gerry, is it's got a time clock in it. It's got thermostats, and it's got a module that connects to an app on your phone. So obviously then we're gone to a fantastic setup where we can control the heating from remote, but we can also control it from a stat within the house. The only thing I would say with that homeowner is you don't necessarily need to control each room individually. And I believe it was a one bedroom house anyway. So I would suggest that keeping a balance of temperature throughout the house would be more reasonable and cheaper to run than having individual room temperature stats controlling it. In different size houses, that can vary, or in two stories, dormers, etc., that can vary. But definitely something to consider is a heating zone control system like the EPH system.
Okay, and that's one of the ways to look at that. The overall thing as well is, and not sure what the options are in terms of cost as well, but certainly examine the grant situation with regards to getting that insulation in there to try and help with that overall problem of the heat escaping. Yeah.
It's definitely a situation, Jerry, where if the heat is, and I think it was mentioned as well in the question, where it's getting too hot and then getting too hot and getting too cold, vice versa, it's obvious that the heat is not being retained within the house, which is a major one. And again, with the current cost of our heating systems or kerosene or gas or anything else like that, we want to make sure that we're definitely retaining the heat within the house to the levels that we want to run them to.
Yeah. Okay. Another query, David. 40 years ago, our caller built an extension onto his home. A solid fuel range was installed at the time. After 25 years, so that's 15 years ago, the range was replaced with an oil stove. And at the same time, a reflexible liner was put into the chimney. He's now replacing the oil stove with a solid range again, solid fuel range. His question is, does the liner in the chimney have to be replaced also? Are there different liners for different heat types?
So directly there, yes, I would definitely strongly suggest replacing the liner within the chimney and also getting the chimney checked for any structural or cracks or buildup of crease or anything else like that within the chimney before you install any new product. An interesting one there, Jerry, that if you think back that it was first solid fuel, then it was oil, and now it's going back to solid fuel. It might be reflective of the current climate as well. But I suppose, yeah. You know, it's definitely a time maybe that homeowner has made their mind up, but again, I'm going to say it and I'm going to put my tuppence in, which would be to consider that it's, you know, just maybe a wood burning stove that's being installed now, or indeed, you know, there's the wood chip burners. There's a lot of different options. Just maybe get a check on the overall heat requirements for the house before committing to the solid fuel. But if that commitment has already been made, then yes, I would strongly suggest the liner has to be replaced. The chimney would have to be cleaned and again, structurally checked. And lastly on that one, Jerry, then it's an important one, which would be ventilation. So if it's not a direct vent into the stove itself, that there's a vent within the room and that the vent is compliant for a solid fuel stove to be installed within the room. That's critical. Yeah. And then it's supposed to look, and it's not to stress people or worry people out, but smoke alarms and carbon monoxide alarms in houses are relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. Make sure they're up to date. Most of them are valid for 10 years. Some of them less. So, you know, it costs nothing to check and make sure the batteries, if their mains operated, that the battery backup is working too.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Very important indeed. Okay, caller is living in a one-bedroom bungalow. He's considering getting an air-to-water heating system installed. Is it expensive to run? Once it's running, is it true you can't open the windows?
So the last statement is definitely not true. It's not that you can't open the windows. That's not a situation at all. And I suppose, you know, any size of house it should be for consideration for a heat pump. It's easy for that to be considered and checked out. The starting point for that homeowner would be a technical assessment, or if they have an existing BER, to check that the house wouldn't need any other upgrade works before installing a heat pump. But I mean, like some of the boring facts on heat pumps to let people know is, you know, they're more efficient by almost 25-35% more efficient than oil boilers. Sorry, 125-225% more efficient than oil boilers. They're converting 65% of their energy into heat. You know, 3 to 4 units of heat in equals, sorry, 1 unit in equals 3 to 4 units out. There's a lot of facts and figures, and there's a lot of information on the SEI website. So I guess there's a lot of disinformation too, and that's maybe where that question comes from, not being able to open windows. But again, yeah, for consideration for the overall house, which is ventilation is key. You know, is it for consideration that there's enough vents within the rooms? Mentioned it's a one bedroom, that there's enough ventilation within the house. Is it for consideration for mechanical ventilation to be installed if it can be done? So, you know, the attic, the walls, the windows and doors, all of which there's grants released for now, Jerry. The 3rd of March came and the grants are there for the windows and doors. So maybe an overall look at the entire dwelling, do a cost exercise as to what it's going to cost, get the grant amounts that you're going to benefit from. And then the running costs afterwards, I would suggest there's going to be a saving there no matter what happens with the upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. John is considering getting a heat pump with radiators. Are the rads he has already installed, most are just 3 years old, and using with stove fuel and oil, would they be okay to use with the new heat pump, or would they have to be replaced also?
So again, there would have to be a calculation done on the radiator size within the dwelling, and that would be done as part of the design for the installation of the heat pump, Jerry. So in most cases, and I know that's mentioned there, 3 years old, the radiators are 3 years old, so there would have been a calculation done at the time for the size of the radiators to correspond with the size of the rooms, not be oversized, yeah, and be correctly sized. in a lot of situations that we've come across personally and through the company, is we have been able to what we call plug and play. Plug out the oil boiler, plug in the heat pump, and the existing radiator systems are more than capable of taking the new installation of the heat pump. It's just a mathematical equation that has to be worked out. And each, as I said, each radiator, each room will be taken individually. In some circumstances, the radiators have to be increased in size to get better heat out of the heat pump, because you obviously have different flow rates and temperatures now. So I suppose the direct answer to that, that listener, is to, you know, have the assessment done, get the design finished with, and I would suggest that they would be very lucky that hopefully all of them would be left in situ.
Would be
and
good to go.
Heat pump in place.
Yeah. He also asked, what make of heat pump would you recommend?
How long is a piece of string on that one, Jerry?
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there on heat pumps, and do your homework. I won't tie myself to one particular brand because we are associated with a few. But again, it depends on the overall size of the house, the overall heat requirements, the efficiency levels, the location of the house, the location of where the heat pump is going to be installed, whether it's driven by radiators or it's driving underfloor heating. So there's a lot of information that's available through websites out there. Again, there's a lot, and Boyles and Clarendon have a lot of information from their suppliers on their heat pumps. It's worth doing that homework. It may seem tedious and laborious, time-consuming, but doing that homework is worth the savings that you're going to have on the back end of it. And as well as that, if you get onto the SEI website for registered installers, they're associated with registered heat pump companies for the installation to sign off on the install.
Yeah. Amanda in Kilgomna asks, is it possible, I think I know the answer to this myself, is it possible to get rid of oil and heat a whole house with sustainable energy, please? I'd imagine it is on the face of it.
It definitely is, right, but it becomes a cost exercise, doesn't it? I mean, you know, what else has to be done to the house, or how much work has to be completed before you can do that? You know, it's definitely an easy answer to say yes, but it's a very complicated answer. It's not just one word, because of the amount of work that might entail. And we come across it regularly where, you know, yes, I want renewables, and all of a sudden you're looking at a number that's in the thousands and thousands, and it's for consideration then of, well, can I just put something cheaper in to keep the existing system going and make it work? But I will say the new SEI grants are definitely encouraging. We've been fighting for them for years. I think you and I have been talking about it over a number of years. My sentence has been thrown out there that they should be increased. They have been. They're definitely a major element within the consideration for homeowners. I mean, up to €12,500 for a heat pump, Jerry, to me, it's a no-brainer. But again, to everyone else, it has to be a mathematical equation to decide whether it's affordable, and the running costs afterwards are affordable as well.
Yeah. Okay. Another question. Caller has a dual heat system, a stove which can heat rads, and also oil heating. The issue is with her stove. It heats up the water, but it stopped circulating the water to the rads. Does she call an electrician or a plumber?
If you're lucky enough to track down either one of those, that's fantastic. It'd be brilliant.
Just
to get
call
both.
Them, whoever they are.
It would be brilliant to get both. We'd be more than happy to help that homeowner without a shadow of a doubt. But it does become that question, Jerry, is, you know, which do I call, the electrician or the plumber? I think I would start with the plumber myself, because I'm a little bit biased that way. But I guess what it is a check of the mechanical components within the system. If the stove is heating the hot water, and if it's hooked up correctly, then it should be stopping the oil boiler from kicking in. And then if that hot water is nowhere to go, then you have a situation that's not ideal. So the oil then should be able to kick in and do the heating system for you, or vice versa. So it goes back to our very first question of having the correct controls in place. A plumber should be able to look at that and tell you if there's any mechanical component that's incorrect, but also do an assessment, I suppose, as to what could be installed to make it work properly. And at that point, then there may be mechanical components by the plumber to install, and then electrical controls to put in afterwards. And again, Jerry, it goes back to our controls. Controls save you money. Turning the thermostat down a degree, whilst it sounds, you know, ridiculous, it can save you a lot of money in the annual expenses of running any heating system. And but again, with the price of kerosene as of this morning, I was looking at it, I mean, from €490 up to €640 in a week. I mean, we definitely want to make every saving we can possibly make. So for that homeowner, I would suggest getting that looked at sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and David, in the wider sense of it, keeping something running in the background at a lower temperature, that's more efficient than having to fire something up and turn it down and fire it up again, isn't it?
That's definitely my personal view on it, Jerry. Again, the heating system that you're using may have an alteration to the overall expense of that. But it would make sense that if you, at this time of year, and I mean, even waking up this morning to almost 0 degrees temperatures and frost on the ground, and then, you know, your sunshine all day today and solar gain, Jerry, solar gain is immense. I mean, get those curtains opened, you know, get the sun shining through those windows and heating up your house. But again, like you said, if you have a house that's dropping by 5 or 6 degrees because of, you know, older windows and doors or older type insulation or not efficient insulation or not an efficient heating system, then it's going to cost you more to ramp up those degrees to get you back to running temperature than what it can be in most circumstances for it to only drop a degree or two and maintain the temperature throughout the entire house. It can be quite contradictory when it comes to controlling the zones then, but for different zones like bedrooms, bedrooms can be run 3 to 4 degrees below living areas as far as I'm concerned. Again, it's only my personal opinion and everyone is different and everyone likes different types of heat. Some people don't like any. But again, it just means that, you know, you have a very, very efficient system. And as you just said there, Jerry, it's not trying to work as hard as it should not have to make up 5 or 6 degrees or 7 or 8 degrees. And timing the zones, you know, having a time clock on the wall, a very simple one to the very new, you know, type ones that we spoke about, the EPH with the app on the phone, you know, having the right times for the types of heat throughout the day, because we know the morning is the coldest and we know the evening is the coldest. But I mean, look, like I said, the sun is blasting out of the sky here in Glenbeigh this morning, looking out the office window, it's quite attractive. And, you know, that's the key, is to take advantage of as many heat sources as you can.
Yeah. Okay, David, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks for answering all those queries for us this morning. We'll have more from you next month. That's David O'Sullivan, DC Energy Solutions, the heat doctor for us here in Murdercurry. As I said, keep your queries in. We'll get to the ones we didn't get to this week on next month's installment, and they'll go to those first. The ones we get to, the sooner you get them in, the better, the quicker you'll get them answered.